Ask the Podcast Coach for April 20th, 2024.
Let's get ready to podcast.
There it is. It's that music that means it's Saturday morning. It's time for Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. I'm Dave Jackson from theschoolofpodcasting.com. And joining me right over there is the one and only Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv. Jim, how's it going?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Always good to be back. It's a chilly morning here in Bellevue, Nebraska. We have freeze warnings. I think this is the last frost of the year. It's always warm on Ask the Podcast Coach.
It is. It's a beautiful thing. And if it's not warm, we have you covered if you need to warm up. And that's right. He's going to do the coffee pour there. It's excellent. And that particular coffee pour is brought to you by the one and only Mark over at podcastbranding.co. If you are looking for a piece of artwork, the beautiful thing of this, think about this. You can go to someone on Fiverr, but then you have to describe what the heck you want. Well, isn't that the job of the graphic designer? And so Mark's going to figure out, he's going to sit down with you one-on-one, and he's going to help you figure out what your show is about. So your artwork's going to represent that. And then here's the beautiful thing. On Fiverr, you might get one design and go, oh, yeah, it's not really it. Mark, when he did the one for, the latest one was for your podcast website, he gave me three designs. And if you don't like them, you go, hey, can we get another this and that? And you're just not going to get that from someone on Fiverr. The beautiful thing is, Mark is also a podcaster, so you don't have to explain to him what a podcast is and all that. So remember, they're going to see you before they hear you, and you want to look good and make a great first impression. And you can get that by going to podcastbranding.co. Tell them Dave and Jim sent you.
Boom, 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 boom. I always wait for the music to end. Big thanks to our good friend Dan Lefebvre over there. Based on a true story at basedonatruestorypodcast.com. This week, Aviator. So, or I guess it's The Aviator and James B. Steele. Check it out if you're looking for something new to listen to and you want to say, hey, is that movie based on a true story? Dan's probably got some info for you, and he's just a great podcaster. Check it out today, basedonatruestorypodcast.com. Dan, thanks for your sponsorship. And this mug, by the way, this mug here that he sent to me, I don't know the brand on it or whatever, but it's this thing holds up. I use it for coffee. Sometimes in the evenings, I use it for beer. I've put whiskey in it. It's multi, it's a great, it's insulated. Like if you put ice in it, it's forever. So Dan, anyways, thanks for sending this to me. This is the best mug I've ever gotten.
There you go. Hey, it's not only cool when you get swag, but when it's good swag, as opposed to the t-shirt that lasts 1.5 washings before it's completely, you know.
You mean mine, like this American Red Cross t-shirt that I have on? It literally, there's a time bomb ticking on it already. It's going to fall apart.
Well, this one's not bad. This is it's a sweatshirt because it's also chilly here, but it's already like over here. And we're looking at a Red School of Podcasting shirt, and you can see where the S is getting, wait, left is right. And it looks like this is just a weird video now of Dave playing with his nipples, but the S is getting a little worn out. Somebody told me this and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that, but it makes sense. If you have custom swag, you've used, you know, whether it's, Sticker Mule or Teespring Public, whatever that is, turn your swag inside out when you throw it in the washer. That way, all the hustle and bustle is not directly scraping on the letters and such. You might get more out of that. So I was like, oh, that makes sense. So we have a lot of topics today, and they're all kind of the same old. So chat room, if you got a question, definitely chime in. And of course, you can go to askthepodcastcoach.com/question and jump right into the video. But here's one that I was like, this is worth talking about. And it says, this is from Sunita. Has anyone figured out how to edit the description on Apple Podcast? I can't get mine to have a space show up. So it's one big blurb. I find a way I can cut text is with emojis. Yeah, I would. Okay. I find other people's descriptions have spaces in them, i.e. it's easy to read in paragraph form and shows up that way when looking at the podcast from the Apple player. So what I don't know is if she's talking about episode descriptions or show descriptions. But Daniel J. Lewis from Podgagement and the Audacity to Podcast, he had a great comment. I saw this in, I think this was Facebook. And if it's your actual show description, why do you have multiple paragraphs? Like, shouldn't you be able to say, this show is for this kind of person trying to do this so that they can do blank? And then, you know, if you have some sort of street cred, you know, hosted by Jim Cullison, ruler of the free world, and, you know, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, why do we need multiple paragraphs to explain your show? If it's for the episode, I will put a link in the show notes because I have it as a, I use this a lot in Libsyn support. There are, it's on Pod News. They looked at 19 different podcast apps, and to make a long story short, they got 19 different answers. So like look at what your top app is. My guess is going to be it's Apple. And my guess is you're probably copying and pasting your show notes from Word or Google Docs. And I always say, look, type your show notes in your media host. If you're using Libsyn or Buzzsprout or Captivate, type them there, do the formatting there. Don't try to do fancy stuff like add pictures in the middle of your description. And I understand that people are like, oh, but I do that because I'm using my media host for my website, to which I go, don't do that then. You're kind of trying to paint with peanut butter. Like, just because you can doesn't mean you should, because in some cases that'll mess up your feed. It's icky. And for me, Jim, what do you put in your show notes?
A little summary, a short description. Then I've been posting in like the show notes, you know, like the timestamps that I get out of Otter. And then Otter has actually added a brand new summary section, which is pretty cool. So I've been grabbing that. And I'll say more from ChatGPT, and I'll drop that in there as well. So just something to help, you know, if you skim through my show notes, you can kind of quickly go through and see the topics we covered in a couple different ways.
Yep. That's pretty much what I do. I will now on this show, I also put links to Mark and, you know, links to me, and then it's usually timestamps and that. And then I will, that will get imported into PodPage, where I will, if I have the time, expand on that and maybe take a paragraph from a transcript or something, because that's now I'm in the land of Google and I want more words on that as well. I played with it last night. In fact, it's kind of not done, but it's presentable at this point. I now have launched, it's funny, we talked about asking about the artwork. There is the finished artwork. So I liked the mouse. So I stuck with the mouse, but I liked Craig's idea having my name on the artwork. But you can see now that I've got the artwork, we're looking at your podcast website. I took the blue from the background and then I liked black, and there's a little red in here sprinkled in, but it's one of those things. I forget my main point that I was going to say. What were we talking about? Oh, so when I go to here, an example. So here, I don't have all this. The first episode is out, and I pulled a couple pull quotes from it. And then the first episode is called, Do You Need to Have a Website? And If You Don't Have Time, You Should Do. And then, so I explain all the pros of having your own website. So now we're in the land of Google. So here's the things I mentioned. And then I talked about, in this case, I'm calling it the affiliate link. That's just because I have a sponsor for PodPage on that. And then because PodPage has an episode signature, it's basically whatever you put in PodPage will show up at the bottom of every episode. And then there's this is something I didn't realize PodPage will do. If you've put chapters into your MP3 file or into, like in this case, Captivate, it'll actually pull your chapters in and put the links, which is kind of cool. So I didn't realize that. And then there's the transcript. So that is now up. And also, as we look at this website, in this particular show, I'm using Captivate. And they're showing the chapters on their player now, which is kind of cool. So you can see I have different options there. So that's now up and about, and I'll be working on that. That's one of those things, again, like, is your website ever done? No, not really. It's always kind of tweaked. But that's...
It can be, though. I mean, you can get to a point, right, where you're messing with it so much, you just need to make some final decisions and then move on. Otherwise, that's all you do. Listen, we're getting some comments in the chat about the blue. I like the blue. I like it a lot. I think you picked a good color for that. That looks good. That looks good on a lot of people. So from a gear standpoint, if you were to do that, that color blue looks good on people. It matches. It's easy to match with different sight things like grays and blacks and whites look good on that blue, which is what you included in there. So it's a good, good choice. I like the, and I like the red around the mouse. I know you like the mouse.
Yeah.
This is a good example of everybody was like, don't do the mouse.
Right.
And you're like, you know what? I like the mouse. I'm going to do the mouse.
Well, I'll give you an example. When I was in a band, I was really just driving me nuts with doing solos, right? So I would go in and I would overdub a solo and I would get done and the band would be like, that was amazing. And I'd be like, nah, I wasn't feeling it in my toes though. So I remember once it was like 17 times. So I finally got a take and they're like, come on, you got to keep that one. And I was like, eh, it was close. And they're like, no, we're keeping it. We're not going to be here all day. Time is money. I'm like, okay. Every time I hear that song, there's one little, and I'm like, it's a millisecond of a note that's just slightly off. But I'm like, look, every time I see this artwork, I'm going to go, you know what? I kind of like the mouse. And then the other thing I did was I actually erased the mouse on the episode. On the episode, I get rid of the mouse and I put the title of that, but I still have the little finger. And I was like, all right, I kind of like that. And so here's the cool thing. This is why, again, without turning this into a giant Mark commercial, is I go to him and I'm like, hey, I kind of would like a blue with white letters, I think would work here. And I like Craig's idea of putting my name at the bottom. I go, to me, I don't get it, but everybody's like, no, you're Dave Jackson. You need to have that on there. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, but I really want to keep the mouse. And Mark came back and is like, okay, I'm glad you picked the mouse. I like the mouse. So he didn't influence he was like, here, do this. Yeah. Like, here it is. You know, and somebody said it looked dated and stuff like that. I'm like, you know what? To me, it just when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's it. Didn't it had an element of design? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not a Canva thing. I mean, I guess I could have grabbed a mouse and stuck it in there, but then it would have looked like what it was, some, you know, teacher guy trying to be cool with graphics. But that was actually like how he put that together. It wasn't a template, I guess. It wasn't just fancy fonts and stuff. So,
color-wise, it matches these two as well.
It does, nice. Yes. That's kind of why I like the blue. I'm like, yeah, it's all in the family. But the thing I started to talk about, it's now come back to me. I'm like, how did I start this? Last night, I think it's officially available. It's an elite feature in PodPage, but I went in and you can go in and have it write a blog based on your episode. And you go in and it says, okay, here's a bunch of different ways we can go based on your file. And then I had one, and I haven't actually published it. Yes, I just did this like last night at like, you know, 10 till 1 in the morning. I'm like, oh, this is fun. But it then wrote a blog post that, of course, you can then edit. And at the bottom of the blog post, because I took it, because this was all about why you need a website and how are people going to find you and things like that. And it said, but I'd also mentioned things like Facebook and Clubhouse and mp3.com and MySpace, all sites that people used to use as their website and got burned. And so it wrote a blog post that was more historical. And I was like, cool, that's actually, it's the same topic, but a different slant at it. And I had it write a blog post. There was one thing in there that was like, I don't know that I would use the word therefore or hence or something like that. I was like, yeah, that's not a Dave Jackson word. And in conclusion, so I tweaked it a little bit. And so what it does is it makes I don't have to worry about duplicate content because it's the same topic, but not the exact same thing. And then at the bottom, it had a link back to my episode, which in theory, there was a webinar that Brendan did from PodPage with some guys. Clarity is they're like website SEO gurus. And they were saying that having internal links, like linking to yourself, no, it doesn't make you go blind. That's a myth. But linking to yourself can boost SEO. So I was like, I see where we're going with that. So
good.
Yeah, around the layout says, trying to be creative with my show notes has become the most dreaded task of late. It's hard to stay original. And that's a great point. But here's something. I'm taking this course on, you know, writing books and publishing and self-publishing and things like that. It's a lot of work, but you know, I always say you have to make people laugh, cry, think, grow, and educate or entertain, but they brought up you're either entertaining people or in some cases you're helping people escape because we're talking about books now. And there are certain podcasts that people will listen to escape. And they said, give you an example. They said Little House on the Prairie, or you might even throw in a Hallmark Christmas movie, right? You know how that's going to end. You know, Little House on the Prairie, at the end, Paul came in, saved the day, and Half Pint was fine, right? But or Hallmark, you know, in the end, that the it's always interesting that the hottest single guy in the little country town where they're going to shut down the movie theater, and then you got the hottest, most single female who both hate each other, and then at the end, they fall in love, and, you know, and the theater is saved. And the reason those work is because some people want to escape. Like, they just want to go in, and that's, I guess there was a boom, I didn't know this, there was a boom in writing about Amish people. Like, the background was Amish town, which we have a bunch of here in Ohio. And so I was kind of like, where does that fit into Laugh, Cry, Think, Grow, and Educate or Entertain? I guess entertain. If you can take Calgon, take me away. And I'm listening to a show that I think a lot of comedy shows are like this. They're really not that funny, but you like the host. You feel like you know them. And they're not really educating me. It's funny. It's a comedy show, but it's really not making me laugh. But in some ways, it's just a way to turn off your brain. And some people want to turn off their brain because they've had a hard day at work and the boss was a jerk and the dog bit me when I got home. You know, they just want something. And I was like, which doesn't really fit into my brain's a little too logical at times. Like, why do I want to escape? I'm like, I want to stay right here and do something and take notes. And, you know, this should, you know, that kind of thing. But I was like, all right, there might be shows that you just do just because you're like, I just want to turn this on and listen to my buddies. And maybe, I don't know if a gamer show would work like that. You just want to hear, to me, when I hear a gamer show, again, I'm thinking of, give me a tip to get over level 28 so I can kill the dragon and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But
gamer shows are part of that, but they're also very personal, you know, that the gamers put a lot of their themselves into that. And I think we do too. I mean, most podcasters do as well. Listen, people listen to people. They don't listen for content. I mean, they do. It's got to be good content, and it's got to be content they're looking for. But I think what separates, and I may even be careful with that. I think in a lot of cases, a lot of people are listening because they want to listen to another human. They can get content anywhere. This is why AI generated content is so jarring sometimes. Is that they, you know, people want to get it from other people. And so that's the opportunity we have in this podcasting space is to be another human, to bring a personality, to bring some, and maybe some kindness. I'll talk like AI for a second, in a world where kindness has been forgotten. Because the AI writes that kind of stuff all the time. You can see it in a second, you know. But I think we've got an opportunity to be kind, to be community, to be a healthy community. I'm not sure the internet by itself knows how to be nice. Like, I mean, we know that. Look at all the comments on YouTube and Reddit and all that stuff, all that toxicity. But people are yearning for healthy relationships and healthy conversation. And I think we can be that. I think we need to be that. And I think if we can do that, Dave, I was watching somebody on YouTube just this morning, and this seems to be the YouTube journey for most people. They start a channel, they create a lot of content, they get super excited about it. Then they get some subscribers. Let's just say they get 50,000 or more subscribers. Then all the next videos are like them trying to explain away the comments. You know, oh, I know I so-and-so said this, but this is the way I do it. And so-and-so said that, and this is the way I do it. And they almost become hostage to the comments. And this is, I mean, listen, the feedback is good, but I think at some point, I mean, I was watching one guy this morning. He's like, I think, and he does a daily YouTube video. And he goes, I think I'm going to go every other day. He goes, I just can't keep up, and I can't keep up with the comments. And I was like, don't keep up with the comments. Just let those, we watch you because you do your thing. And I think sometimes if we let the audience influence us too much, we start getting away from what we are best at, what we are good at, the reason we started doing this. And then we lose our joy in this. You know, we're like, oh, now I got to go out and answer these questions, and everybody thinks I should have done this differently, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I kind of wonder if we go through this cycle, or most podcasters go through the cycle where they start, they have a lot of excitement, they're doing a lot of great stuff. Then the negativity comes in, and you got to survive. You got to figure out how not to get trapped in the negativity or the negative comments or the trolling, right? You can't let that stuff drag you down. You've got to kind of just ignore it. Put it aside. Don't answer it. Don't worry about it. Don't try to listen. I don't want to hear what your trolls said in your show. Let them be trolls. Just delete their comments, for God's sake, right? If you need to do that. Listen, on YouTube, at Gallup, I scrub every single comment. And I have no guilt. I don't think it's censorship. We're going to have a good community. And I'm not going to let it be ruined by a bunch of people who are just pining for attention. And that, so I think there's some, yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's a great point, because as much as I always sound like I'm anti-YouTube, I'm not anti-YouTube. I'm worried that A, it's going to add more learning curve and more gear and more time and a bigger budget to somebody just starting a podcast. But I never thought about that, because the good side of YouTube is you are going to get comments. Now, the fun part is, if this is your first episode and you didn't get any feedback, you might get some people going, yeah, this is a total waste of time. And that might be soul crushing when you just spent 15 hours, 20, 25 hours if you're doing video, that it would then derail a brand new podcaster. So that's, again, this is one of those things where you just have to set your expectations. If you're starting a brand new podcast today, because when I go to Reddit and I go to Facebook, almost every other question is about video now. And I'm like, oh, you guys don't know what you're getting into. You know what I mean? It's like you're adding a lot more learning curve, a lot more budget, a lot more time. And somebody could start off and be like, I don't know what this guy's talking about, but this is a waste of time. I could just see them going, well, screw it. I'm not going to take my time to, you know. But it's weird, because I used to get emails. I still do, for Ask the Podcast Coach. There are people that will comment on that. And I always go and look at them. And usually, if nothing else, I just give them a thumbs up so they know that I saw it, you know, that whole nine yards. But yeah, you will get people that are not afraid to share their opinion.
Well, yeah. Well, and then they'll say things like, they'll ask you to do things. Can you do this? And maybe you don't. And then they'll come back at you 6 months or a year later and be like, I told you, you right. should. And you're like,
you like, asked okay, me
that. I keep telling you, this is another thing I've heard before. I keep telling you, you need to, you know, and I'm like, I'm not going to do it. Like, right. I appreciate that. And I've been so bold is behind the scenes to contact him and say, I know you keep saying this, but I'm not going to do it. Let me just be really, really clear about this. I'm not doing this. And you can wish as much as you want that I am different, but I am not going to change for you. And listen, there are times when you get that feedback and it's constructive and it's helpful and you go, oh yeah, maybe I should get a better microphone, or, oh yeah, maybe, you know, in the early days when I was podcasting, I could not get my lighting right. And I kept getting comments, and finally the host of the show I was on for Christmas bought me lights, like lights I'm using today. Right.
Yeah.
And he was like, fix those freaking lights, would you? And I just didn't even know how to do what was right. And I needed somebody to show that to me. So that happens too. And you've got to be, I think, open and willing to listen to some of that. Listen, the pro is the person who can differentiate between the two and handle the community in a way that's doesn't shut people out, but still says to people, yeah, no, hey, I appreciate your feedback. I'm not going to do that. I think sometimes it's a disservice, and I've done this, and I probably do this more than I should, to say, oh, I'll consider it, and then leave it open.
Right.
Listen, if you're not going to do it, tell them.
Right.
Say, yeah, I'm not doing this right now. And I don't plan to do this.
That's like Marco over at Overcast app. He's said he might put in some of the podcasting 2.0 features, but he's not doing the streaming crypto. Don't know why, because he donates $500 a month to the whole project. So he's definitely, he's just like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And so I like the fact, I mean, I'm bummed because I love that app. I would love to go back to it. But I was like, oh, I kind of need that for my listing. I want to play in that sandbox. And so when he said, yep, not doing it, I was like, all right. But I appreciate the fact that he was like honest. And I was like, yep, that's, you know, and I always say when somebody says, really, you know, Dave and Jim, you guys should bring in guests. And I'm like, we do. It's askthepodcastcoach.com/question. Anybody want to be a guest? Come on in and ask a question. But he was like, we should do this and do that. And it was like, these are all interesting suggestions. It's just not, this is a, you know, a quote call-in show. We go and grab questions and bring them in. And if this is not what you want, we have a name for you. It's called Not My Target Audience. And thank you
for coming.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thanks for coming. There's plenty of other podcast gurus you can go listen to. And listen, we don't want to say that in a mean way, you know, but I don't understand. If I watch something on YouTube, and I listen, I've got a couple podcasts I've been listening to for a long time, and they've changed their format a little bit. And I think I'm almost done. Now, I'm not going to contact them. I mean, I guess I could and say, hey, I just want to let you, I guess there's a couple ways I could do it. One is I could be mean about it and say, since you guys have changed your format, it's worthless. You guys are terrible. You know, use all those kind of words, right? Or say, hey, I just want to let you know, I've noticed a format change. I'm probably going to go do something else. That's constructive feedback, right? And then, but to hang around a podcast, to cause issues, to be constantly bringing negativity, either to a live show or on their YouTube comments. That's Dave. That's the thing I don't understand. I can't even comprehend why someone would hang around every single week just to bring negative vibes. And, and I guess there's something inside of them that where that satisfies something. I don't get that. If I didn't like this show, I would stop coming, you know?
I have a show. I love him on HBO. I watch for these on YouTube. When Bill Maher has a video and it has the phrase new rule in it, they're brilliant. Mm. They're awesome. Mm. So I started watching Club Random because he has, you know, like he had Sheryl Crow on and then he had the lead singer of the Black Crowes. And I watch Bill Maher now and the minute he, A, goes off on a complete tangent that is all about him, it's like, welcome to Club Random where me and my guests talk about me. And he constantly, like someone will start to tell a story. Like he'll be like, oh, well, have you ever been to the Caribbean? I've been to the Caribbean. And they'd be like, oh, this one time I was, and then he'll go into his story. Like he literally will cut off the guest as they're telling a story. And I'm just like, give me a pen, something to throw at the screen. I'm like, I'm just, you know, going crazy. So I watch him to get upset. And I have at times, like I remember the one I was like, at the 24:37 second mark, Bill jumped all over, you know, whoever the guest was. And so I do hate watch Bill Maher. I love him on HBO, his show. And it's one of these two that I think Bill got bit by the Joe Rogan bug because he's older than Joe Rogan. And obviously Joe. And so what does Bill do? He drinks and smokes a little ganja. And somehow that's supposed to make a better podcast. Yeah. In fact, I think he's kind of a jerk because Steve-O from Jackass, who's been sober for like, I don't know, at least 10 years, kind of said, hey, I'd love to come on your show because they asked him. He's like, I just have one, like, can you not like smoke pot in front of me? I value my sobriety. I know my limits. Like, and I'm Steve-O. I don't always make the most smartest choices, you know? And Bill Maher said, no. Like, if you can't handle pot smoke, you're not coming on my show. And I was like, wow,
you're kind
of a weenie. So,
yeah, choices were made. I don't know. And in being negative about this, maybe I'm the person I'm rallying against in some ways. But I do appreciate the feedback is good. This is handling feedback. That's always what it comes down to is the hardest thing to do. Because it can make things better.
Yeah.
You know, there are times when somebody says, dude, comb your hair or, you know, get some better lights.
Yeah.
Would you? Could, I mean, I like your content. I want to watch it, but I can't see you. Right. That's, I mean, that's actually kind of constructive. I've had some coloring issues on my, with my video and the lighting and some of those other things.
Every time I wear this bright red sweatshirt, I'm like, oh, I should not wear this. It just, it's, I look fluorescent.
It's red.
It's very red. Yeah.
Yeah. Craig, well, anyways, I do, I hold on before you say that one more thing. I do appreciate our audience actually is really good at this positivity. Like when you come on Saturday mornings and you're in our chat room, it's been a while since we've had some really unnecessary negativity, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I guess so.
Anyway, it's always constructive. Yeah. Craig said, because we're talking about how people sometimes just come for the host. And he said, they come for the content and they stay for the podcaster. And speaking of Glenn, another way to get people to your channel.
Don't be boring.
Yeah. Don't be boring. Jeff C., one of the best podcasters who's built a great community, is Lou Mangiello, a great case study. Yeah. Lou is a guy that the minute I see him, I saw him at Podcast Movement Evolutions. And the minute I saw him, I was like, you just smile because he's just such a great guy. And then Chris from castahead.net says, sounds like a person who needs someone to produce and or moderate, allows the podcaster streamer to focus on their passion. It's a little tough sometimes. And then in terms of AI, John Domingo says, I tell Castomatic to write a 200-word episode summary of the episode. Yeah, Castomatic, well, speaking of that, let's share my screen. I will explain to those listening in audio. There's a new kid in town. It's flowsend.ai. And are you ready for this, Jim? You upload your MP3 file, and it then transcribes it and breaks it into bits. Have you ever heard of anything like this?
What?
I know.
Revolutionary.
Yeah. So it's right now it's free. That's why I'm bringing it up. Okay. Flowsend.ai. So I'm assuming eventually they're going to, but here this is my transcript. It's all one giant block. That was the thing I was like, well, Otter does that better. I will give him that. It was really cool. I could set myself up as a speaker. So that's the transcript. But if I go to content, you guessed it. Here's my titles. And I can come in here. The thing that kind of makes it ChatGPT, Cast Magic, is I can come in and add an example. And then the idea is it will try to make the titles that match my style. And then your episode description and your timestamps and your topic and notes, which is what you just saw on the website. I was like, yeah, these are good enough to put on a website. I did read them, by the way. There were a couple. I'm like, yeah. And then clips and quotes and then SEO keywords. Can you imagine putting all these onto your website though? Like, okay, like how about one or two? And then a LinkedIn post and a newsletter and a blog post, which wasn't horrible. And then an ex-Twitter thread, all the fun things. And then I guess somewhere in here, you can do a custom prompt or whatever. So it's, you know, I just saw it. I was like, well, yeah, it kind of does what Castomagic does without some of the extra bells and whistles. But I will give them credit. The one thing that I was like, hallelujah, finally, somebody's doing this. And it's at, again, Flow, F-L-O-W, send. They actually used all the vowels and everything like that. So it's flowsend.ai. But if you go to the front page, here's a novel idea. Oh, wait a minute. Let's actually show people how to use the software. Not like, let's tell you all the, like, let's actually, it's a little 2-minute walkthrough. And I was like, hallelujah. And so he shows you how to make custom prompts. And I'm assuming eventually this will not be free, but Harry Duran was like, hey, have you seen this one yet? So thanks to Harry over at podcastjunkies.com. And I was like, nope. And I was like, yep, this looks kind of like, well, every other one. It's just got a little cleaner interface. And from what I saw, it didn't have shows yet. It was just, here's your episode and things like that. But I was like, well, it's, you know, on one hand, kudos to you for having the courage to jump into what appears to be a little crowded. I have not seen it yet, but yesterday, Capshow, who was the OG of AI for podcasters, I believe I would call them the first one that really jumped in. And I know they're doing something different now, and I haven't seen what the different thing is yet because I missed the webinar because, you know, that stupid day job gets in the way. But it's going to be interesting to see because there are so many now. You know, there's Capshow, there's Swell AI, there's Cast Magic, there's Pod Squeeze. Now there's, you know, FlowSend.app and .ai and, you know, so.
Otter added some new features. They've got they have a summary tab. Their transcripts have gotten pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for somebody who will do a transcript and then let AI fix the transcript. Like, if we could get a double run at a transcript. So, because the transcription engines do a pretty good job. They don't know all the words, right? But so if we could get it to transcribe it, and then if there's a button that said, have AI fix this, I bet in most cases AI could do a better job of guessing what was actually trying to be said than the transcription engines were. And so I'm kind of looking forward to a day when we can do a double run on a transcript. I think we'd get closer to 99% correct if we did that. Because that's, I mean, large language models, the magic behind AI, there's a couple things it's good at. One is summary, but the other is guessing the next word. That's the next lot. That's why it's so good at writing. And so you'd think feed it a transcript and then say, hey, look at this block and then make it make sense, but don't change the, you know, don't change the words drastically. Just go in there. Cause you've done it. You've seen transcripts, Dave, where it'll pick a word that it's obviously wrong, doesn't fit the context of the sentence. AI would be good at fixing those. Have you ever taken, take your own transcripts, drop them into AI and just say, clean this up. And it does a pretty good job. So I think that's one of those areas I'd love to see. I don't know why these services haven't got to it. Otter does a pretty good job out the chute. And I do like they're trying to add things. Otter's interesting take on all of this is they want to be your meeting transcriber. So they want you to connect to live meetings, and then they come back with, hey, here's where things, and this is kind of cool, here's where decisions were made, or here's where items were assigned. And then I don't know if you knew, but Zoom is doing some of this from behind the scenes. They just issued a brand new update to their workplace software. And there's some AI behind Zoom where it's during a call, you can start asking it questions. So if you're using Zoom to record your podcast, I want to check out and see, there could be some AI behind that might be helpful in what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Time to wake up.
Yeah, that's I'm trying to show you okay, enough of it. I won jackpot. Ooh,
who is that?
This is Fathom. Let me share my screen because I want to show you Fathom.video. And yeah, thank you. I want to. Here's my calls. Okay, so if I go into, this was lunch with Dave, but it's only 2 minutes, so that can't be. Here's one, 59. So if I go in here, what it does is it copies the video, but here is the, if I can get my mouse to work, come on, kid. I hate these websites that have, like, I have to find, nope. Okay, because here we go, down here, where there's multiple scroll bars, because it says, okay, we talked about podcast hosting platforms, monetization strategies, video formats, podcast production, and timestamps to all this, YouTube video strategies. So if you ever wonder what we do at the School of Podcasting, this is what we're talking about, feedback and collection methods. And so if I want to then, you know, I can copy this, but what this really also works great for is consulting calls. So at the School of Podcasting, you get unlimited one-on-one consulting. So we'll jump on a Zoom call. And at the bottom, I can basically, it'll say, here are the action steps. Like, Bev needs to do this, this, and that. Dave said he would check on this. And it's like, what? And the thing I don't get, I love it, but like, okay, it's Fathom.video. And it's just, it looks like just yet another note taker. It's free. And I'm like, okay, but like, how do they stay in business? They like, I just, what you heard, those little ding, 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 I've earned points, which apparently I can somehow use those points towards their pro version. And I'm like, yeah, but your pro, like, I'm getting everything I need from the free version, which is scary. That one of my favorite apps is the Volley app. And they went out of business because they made their free section so good that nobody paid for the extra features. And so that's when I logged in. It's like, hey, you've used Fathom 2 weeks in a row. You earned 40 points. And I said, okay. And it went ding, ding. And then it was like, hey, you've also done this. You've earned 50. So all these things, they're gamifying it to get me to use their pro account, which I don't need. But I know Otter has a thing because I've had people jump into Zoom meetings and they'll have Otter somehow taking notes in the background. It seems like every now and then, if you get five people on a Zoom call, you get 10 people because everybody has their own note-taking thing. But somebody, Tina Dietz from, Tina, she's from Florida, and I'm looking for a business card. It was right here, but she was saying, I'm like, what is that? She goes, oh, it's Fathom. It's amazing. And I'm like, great. How much is it? She goes, it's free. And I was like, free doesn't work. She's like, nope, it's really, I don't know why, but it's still free. So Coach Dave, speaking of AI, says, I do use AI for example, summarize this transcript and suggest an opening paragraph that introduces this discussion. Yeah, AI, I'm actually watching another thing that I was trying to watch this week is PodFest, and it's all next week too, is doing session after session after session on AI. And there does come a point where it's like AI will wipe your butt. Like it's coming. I know it's this way, but like one, the woman said you can take a picture, like you can open up the fridge and take a picture of your refrigerator and then take a picture of your pantry and it will tell you what meals to make. And there's a part of me that goes, look, I used to know all the street names around my neighborhood, and I kind of do, but they're a little fuzzy because I don't need to know anymore because I just fire up waves. And I'm like, is ChatGPT, well, not so much ChatGPT, but is AI in the end going to make us stupid? Like on one hand, it's great because it's going to help us speed things up so that we can do more things. I'm like, but what are the more things we're going to be doing if I just have to, it just seemed like everything was like AI can do this for you. And I don't want to come off again as the old guy, but I'm like, I think AI can erase you from your own show eventually. You know what I mean? It's like, that's, but the refrigerator one was where I was like, okay, on one hand, kind of cool. And she showed us how it was like, oh, you can do this. And then you could go in and say, wait, I have, you know, I'm allergic to green peppers and it would eliminate different recipes. Like it was cool. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But there was a part of me that I was like, yeah, if we let AI do everything, like, what are we going to do? It was kind of weird.
Well, I think the thought is we'll do things that we're better at that AI can't do, you know? And so I do think there are some, listen, there are folks who can open the fridge and look and immediately know what to make. Then they don't have to use AI to do it. You and I, we need that kind of help. You and I, not great writers, right? Well, I shouldn't speak for you.
I'm going to say, I can write. It's the typing part that just...
Well, So you're probably a better content guy than me. We were talking about this on Jeff's show the other day. You know, there's things you do better than me. You're probably a better content guy than me. I'm terrible at writing. I need to let AI do a lot of that for me. I'm always better at starting with an idea instead of making up the idea. And so AI can do that for me, right? So I think it frees us up, used correctly, it can free us up to do the things we're really good at. In your case, Dave, you could use AI to completely, it could be your editor. You can drop that in and say, edit this, and it'll do the job of getting it way closer to editing than you could get. Now, we've got Grammarly for some of those kinds of things and such, but I think it frees us up to do things we're really good at.
I absolutely love our chat room.
Oh, yeah.
Well, first of all, Descript does this. Rob Greenlee in the house, Hall of Famer. Greenlee and friends. He's got podcasting tips. He's got a show he does. Originally was on YouTube. Now it's a podcast as well. Chris says, Descript will take another run at your transcript with AI. You can edit for clarity, which also edits your audio and video. I say this, I've been saying this for about 6 months. I really need to get up to speed more on Descript. And I've never heard of this. Noota, N-O-O-T-A, does this too. It's an app Sumo Limited a few years ago. I've never heard of Noota. It sounds like the exchange student from sixth grade. Ladies and kids, say hi to Noota. She's from wherever. Jeff C., I like this, talking about, because Coach Dave said that refrigerator thing is legit. You can do that. But Jeff says, I need to upload a photo of myself and have AI tell me meals not to eat. So that's when it just, you know, it'd be an app. Anytime you're near McDonald's, it just goes, goop, goop. They're Dairy Queen within 400 feet. Please turn left. That would be great. SP brings up a great point. Did calculators make us stupid? Mm-mm. No. That's
well, they made us dumb at some things. Like we don't do quick math very well anymore.
Yeah.
Like if you have to give change back, when I was in high school, I worked at a liquor store, and you know, we'd have to give change out all the time. It was just a standard, and you got good at that kind of math, right? Today, you know, I'd struggle if it was like, okay, 79 cents, okay, one, carry the two, well, you know, kind of thing.
Well, the fun thing is, next time you go anywhere, and first of all, this is funny because this would mean you're actually touching cash, which I can't remember the last time I did that. But let's say it comes out to something 76, and the person running the register has a nose ring. Give them a penny so that your change would be something 25, and you will just see them look at this like, what, they don't understand. Like, no, I just paid part of the bill. I now get a quarter back, not 24 cents. And it just, their heads explode, which I kind of get, you know, I mean, they're not teaching the kids like they used to. But I remember when I worked in a grocery store, they said, if it's three for a dollar, what is it? And I said, well, it'd be 33 cents. I go, technically 33.3. And the owner of the store said, yeah, it's 34. We always, doesn't matter what that last number, you always round up. He's like, that goes in your pocket. I'm like, okay, good to know. But yeah, I had to. You know, we had no scanners back when we were checking stuff and everything. Back, it sounds like the Stone Age now, doesn't it? Like, yes, we had to manually ring in the price. Speaking of AI, Coach Dave says, I was able to spit out an 80-page paper, he says in quotation mark, for a committee I was chairing. Did it in one afternoon. It needed a lot of pruning, refinement, but it helped me get a lot of thoughts on paper. This is where Daniel calls AI assisted intelligence. I use it a lot for brainstorming. I'll use Cast Magic, and I rarely, if ever, use one of their titles. But it'd be like, oh, I kind of like the beginning of this title and the end of this one. And so I'll look at 10 titles and come up with 11 that came out of me. Yeah. Chrissy says, this is from Creating Great Grooming Dogs. So yes, it's a podcast for dog groomers. Not. I mean, you can listen to it too, but if you're a dog groomer, and so, yeah, I would imagine dog groomers. Who cuts your hair, Jim? Because it looks fabulous.
This morning it's a little rough, but I have a stylist.
Yeah,
her name is Erin.
I've had mine since I was 16, and they take cash. That's the only time I actually touch cash is when I get my hair cut, and you know. But that would be a place where they have to count back change. But she could do it. Dave says cash is being phased out in favor of programmable digital currency anyway. That way they can tell you what to buy and what not to. Yeah, if we want to put our tinfoil hat on, they're working on this. There's going to be, I think it's called the Eagle. It's going to be some sort of U.S. digital currency. And then Big Brother will come and take all your money because, you know, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. Inserts. It sounds like a great movie, you know.
But starring Sandra Bullock or something like that.
Sandra Bullock and maybe Chris Hemsworth. Yeah, and that, you know, little.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got to get the Thor audience in there.
Yeah, for sure. He's hot right now.
Rob had Mignon Fogarty, better known as Grammar Girl, on his show last week, and she said that ChatGPT 4.0 is better than Grammarly. There's another example of AI is Grammarly.
They're using an old model. Grammarly's been around a long time. They were on the original AI stuff that they're working on. They're going to have to upgrade to get. I have noticed that too in Grammarly. It's a little. Not quite as good as some of the other stuff. So I agree.
Yeah. Since we're in the mood to share screens today, in Podgagement, this is the tool from Daniel J. Lewis. And I owe you an apology, Jim. I didn't even realize it until I did this last night. But he has an image maker now in Podgagement. And this is a tool that makes it really easy to leave reviews and follow the show and things like that. So I went in here and said, make image. And so as I look at that, it gives me the Ask the Podcast Coach logo. It's got the name of the show in bright white letters. And then it says Dave Jackson, Jim Cullison. And we've had 86 rankings. Oh, now, if I wanted to get rankings, I believe that is this page. So I could come in here and copy this and throw it in the chat room. And that would take them to a place where they could kind of leave a rating where the one up here that says follow the page, that sends them to where they can follow. So if you go to, I know, schoolofpodcasting.com/follow directs me to my follow the podcast page. But what's interesting about this is I did this last night and it just said Dave Jackson. And I'm like, wait, where's the Jim Collison? Like, it's not just the Dave Jackson show. And I went into, this show is hosted on Libsyn. Use the coupon code SOPFREE to get a free month of Libsyn. And lo and behold, the author was Dave Jackson. And I was like, now in every episode, it always says Dave Jackson, comma, Jim Collison. But in the show, it just said Dave Jackson. I was like, well, that's not right. There's no Ask the Podcast Coach without Jim Collison. It's never as good. I mean.
That's it. I'm out.
That's it.
Peace out, Dave. You've forgotten about me for the last time.
So Daily Sports History said, hey, Rob's show with Grammar Girl was great. It was interesting to see how nervous she was about AI. Interesting. I'll have to go watch that. I think it's Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob Greenlee and Friends, or no, Podcasting Tips with Rob Greenlee. I know it comes up on my YouTube all the time, and it's green and black themed, but I couldn't actually tell you. I just know I'm a subscriber on YouTube to it, and I think you're also in my app. But Rob is an OG. Like, Rob was a podcaster before podcasting was podcasting. Like, he's goes way, way back. He was doing radio and streaming stuff and all sorts of fun stuff. So Podgagement, that's Daniel's thing, making more great strides with more great tools to help you engage with your podcast audience. And let's switch topics, and we'll again go here, or maybe we won't. You know what's always fun? I practiced this morning. There it is. We do this, and then I'm going to go it over here. And this person says, editing or slash workflow advice. Hi, all. After some advice, again, been podcasting for 2 years and quite happily been using Adobe Audition for editing. As I get it as part of their creative package. Oh, so that's why he's using Audition. So not really looking to change software. I had the mad idea recently of also recording some mobile content from my podcast and then cut it into the main podcast. Well, there's kind of the thing, like, you changed your workflow. So I had a mad idea. Yep, you've even admitted. Maybe this isn't a good idea. Was expecting it to be more work, but did it for the first time last week, and I'm already finding it more work than I was expecting, having to manually find all the different points to cut in between the different sources to be combined. I've got about 2 hours of content to cut down to an hour with about 36 points slash markers over the 2 hours. Currently, I've got the information saved in an Excel file, and once both sources listed, then to cut and paste it all together, or delete sections of recording as applicable. Is there any way to speed up the process workflow? The plan is to do another 4 or 5 of these over the next year and release an episode a month. And just wondered if there's a quicker way to do this. Thanks for any suggestions. Well, first of all, before I answer this, I don't want to miss this. It's yes, Podcast Tips on all StreamYard channels. Yes, that's the name of Rob Greenlee's show. So, the thing here is this person added something to their workflow. I'm going to record a bunch of stuff mobile, and then they're kind of like, hey, this added more work to my show, to where I kind of go, well, yeah, you had your workflow, you knew it, and then you changed things. And so when I heard Excel sheet, I was like, oh, that's a red flag that you've taken a wrong turn somewhere. So I think how I used to do this, because back in the day I used Adobe Audition, is you can copy a WAV file, you know, a section of it, and then paste it into a new file, and then just use the name. So if this is something, and this is where I always say, you know, more planning equals less editing, less planning, more editing. So you kind of have to know, where am I going to use this clip? So I would number them like 001, opening something something, 002, Jill hit a snag, whatever it is. And that way, when you later go to put these all together, you can see by the name of the file, oh, I'm going to bring this one in next. I do this in Hindenburg. That would be my advice. If you're going to do this stuff, go get Hindenburg. Nothing against Adobe Audition. It makes things sound really, really good. But I was like, oh, if you're playing with clips, that screams Hindenburg, because you have this cute little thing on the side where you can, over here, you have these groups where you can drag bits and clips. So I'll just do this real quick for those. It's just basically, and there's my little clip, and I can drag that right back in. And so if you're dealing with clips, Hindenburg is the way to go, or just name your files. But that, you know, to me, I always say when you bring in more gear, or, you know, if you like Jim, when you got your lights, how long did it take you to get the lights really the way you wanted it?
A little bit. Yeah. I had to mess with them. I'm still messing with them, to be honest, but
that's lighting backdrops, much like websites, never really done.
No, true story.
Yeah. And Coach Dave says, is Hindenburg what you use to create chapters too? Yes and no. Yes, for podcasting 1.0, which are in the MP3 file. And then no, for podcasting 2.0 stuff, asterisks, depending on who your host is. So if I'm using Buzzsprout, Blueberry, or Captivate, they have tools now where you can make chapters that, and I'm assuming they save them into the MP3 file, so you got 1.0 covered, but they also make the podcasting 2.0 stuff, which is the cool thing about that is, let's say in a chapter, which I did yesterday, that was in the file, in the MP3 file, I spelled Facebook without an E, so it was Factbook, right? Well, I upload it, pulls it into Captivate, and I saw where that chapter was wrong. So I replaced the E, and if you're using a podcasting 2.0 app, you won't see the typo because it's been fixed. If you're not using, if you're using probably Apple Podcasts, it'll say Factbook. And I was like, I'm not going back. Because here's the thing. With the old version of chapters, I would have to go in, change the typo, and then export the file again and re-upload it. Podcasting 2.0 chapters, you fix them because the chapters are in the cloud. And you can change it there. Plus, you can have, well, you can do this in the old version too. You can have links and things like that. But yeah, that for the longest, well, actually still, to the best of my knowledge, Hindenburg is the only way to make chapters on a PC. I don't know that there's an app even that, like, I know on the Mac, there's a actual software called Chapters that I do that because I'm using Libsyn. And Libsyn, you know, they support, in giant quotation marks here, they support the podcasting 2.0 space. Meaning, if you hand code the code, you can use it in our old interface. There's another asterisk there. In our old interface, you can go in and put this code, which is what I'm doing. But so for Ask the Podcast Ghost. So what I do is I export the show in Hindenburg with my chapters. So they're in the MP3 file. Then I import the file into this chapter tool on a Mac, which then allows me to export, everybody get their nerd on, the JSON file that I upload to bunny.net, I think it is, which is a CDN, because that file has to live in the cloud. And then I take a link to that JSON file and put it into Libsyn based on a code. It's just that simple. That's why I might actually move the Podcasting 2.0 show, which currently is hosted on Libsyn, to either Blueberry or Captivate, which is, you know, they both have a lot of these 2.0 features. And on one hand, it's not hard to do. I've got most of this in a text expander thing, but it's just these extra steps that I'm like, you know, if I was using another company, I could save, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, and it's not this, and it's not another expense. Not that the CDN is ridiculous. I gave them like $20 probably over a year ago, and I still have like $14 worth of credit because these files are really, really, really tiny. You know, it's a text file. So anyway, John, Jamingo, wait a minute. Let's hit the fun-filled. There's a new topic coming. Maybe not. Well, this is, no. There it is. Yay. Boy, that's really bad. John says, can you change or add keyboard shortcuts in Hindenburg? That is a really good question. The official answer is, and this is where I would like to say I differ from other gurus. I will actually say the phrase, I don't know. And the reason for that is, I don't know. But I've known gurus that will make up an answer just because they want to appear as, I know it all. I know if you go to Hindenburg.com, go to their help section and type in shortcuts, they have a nice little cheat sheet of, like, and they have like 8 million shortcuts. I don't know if you can change them though. That's the part I don't know about. But they do have a shortcut. The one is like, put your elbow on your desk. Why, it's crazy. It's control shift M space bar. Exactly. Rub your head. It's a little crazy that way. Here's another fun question. And the fun part of that, and see, that came right up the way it's supposed to. How to avoid bad guest audio. We hear this a lot. I have a question. I've been reluctant to do interviews remotely for my podcast, but I feel like I'm leaving so many opportunities on the table. I have mainly done everything in person, in which I travel with my equipment and set up at different locations. I've done 15 episodes. So congrats. That's a lot of work. My concern is the audio on the guest side isn't going to come out as clear because not everyone has a microphone. Any advice or suggestions with this? So it's a common problem, right? The guest just isn't ready. Jim, you want to go first or what would you do?
You can't make good audio with bad equipment, right? I mean, I just had the situation this week where we got somebody on and I was like, what are you using? And it was 4,000 miles away. Yeah. I'm like, on what planet did you think that was okay? And then I was like, are you helping our customers with this sound? Oh yeah. No one's ever said anything. Everybody loved. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No. And no, then none of that's actually true. I don't know what you think you're doing. I'm sorry to mess up your hair. Put on your headset. That's why we give them to you. But yeah, no, you can't. There isn't a way to make it. I mean, we still, maybe with all this talk of AI, maybe there'll be an AI plugin. Maybe there already is.
There is.
If you could get a decent sample of the person's voice and you could hear them, then you could transcribe them with the crappy audio and then let the AI put the good voice over the top of it, right? But live, that's not going to work, at least right now. That's not going to work live. Yeah, you just got to get... people were so good at this during the pandemic. I thought we had fixed all this. And then...
Right.
As we've gotten away from it, we're backsliding, to use that term.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, and they don't want to put anything on their head. They don't want to put anything in their ears. They want a microphone that's 8,000 miles away and then they want echoing. And it's frustrating to me.
There is a plugin for, I forget the name. It's called Crisp with a K. That kind of removes reverb on the fly. And I think you could use it with Zoom, but it's one of those things. Ray from Around the Layout podcast, if you're into model trains, Around the Layout podcast, Ray goes deep into people's stories there. He says the MPOW PO71A headset is remarkable. It's remarkable how inexpensive yet great the headset sounds for guests. John Jamingo has a great point. You can't make chicken salad out of chicken. That's not going to work. So my thing for this person, if they really want to avoid bad audio, is mandatory pre-interview. Like, we got to do a 15-second pre-interview. Number one, you're going to find out if this guest is a good fit. And number two, if they show up with a built-in laptop or whatever they're using, I would send. Now, I'm lucky. I am almost always interviewing a podcaster, so I don't run into this problem. But if I remember when I did a weight loss show and I had a guest come in with bad audio and I did my best to clean it up, but my audience was like, Dave, that sounded like crap. What's going on with your show? So it's the guest will take kind of a little bit of a hit, but you're going to take a majority of it because you let them in. So I would just politely remind them, I know, and they're like, oh yeah, I use this on Zoom calls. Yeah, this isn't a Zoom call. It's a podcast. And, you know, and then just give them, you know, maybe a link to that mic. I'll put a link to that in the show notes later that Ray mentioned. Here's a cheap headset. You know, do you know the headset you guys are sending out to your peeps by any chance?
Oh, now?
Yeah.
It's a Jabra. It's a version of a Jabra of some kind. They're fairly expensive.
Okay.
I mean, they're $175 or $180 headsets. They're not as good. Like, you know, any USB is going to have terrible audio back. So you hear them, you hear your voice, but you don't truly hear your voice. So I end up kind of going, sometimes I just go down to the studio and take the call that way. It's just, that way I can hear what I sound like.
Yeah. Somebody sent me one and I was like, I think it would have been better on the phone. And I hate the phone. It was just really bad. Yeah. And I was like, at least the phone kind of gives you an excuse as to why the audio is bad.
Yeah. Yeah, well, an iPhone sometimes better than better than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, get the phone close to you. Those are some pretty good audio. That one.
Well, that's another one. Yeah. If depending on what you're using, I think Riverside has an app. And so just make sure they're not doing the whole put it on speaker, put it on the desk thing. But Jeff C says you can't fix an entire session of bad audio, but regenerate IndieScript. See, this is, again, let's say it together. I need to spend some time and really dig into Descript. Yeah. I even bought Jeff's course on Descript, and I think I watched the intro and went, oh, good, I'll have to come back to this on my free time. Yeah. But he says it's pretty impressive. It can easily fix dog barks, mic bonks really easily. Wasn't that a band in the 60s, ladies and gentlemen? The mic bonks. You know? So John says, when editing clients, I harp on talking to me about how to record an interview before they record, not afterwards. Yeah, I deal with that a lot. Audio processing is like makeup. A little will enhance, and too much makes you look like a clown. Yeah, absolutely. That's the, I can always tell, and it's hard to find it, especially with any kind of de-reverb, de-noise. There's good. Oh, underwater sound. Like, it just doesn't work. Chris Stone says, audio engineering 101. Record the source audio properly. Otherwise, you're putting lipstick on a pig. Absolutely. Well, you know who are not pigs, Jim?
Our awesome.
Our awesome supporters.
Supporters?
Yes. If you'd like to be an awesome supporter, you can go to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. And this show is brought to you by the wonderful people at the School of Podcasting, where you get unlimited coaching, you get step-by-step courses, and just an amazing community. You saw earlier where what we were talking about with on Friday, it's called Lunch with Dave. We do that every Friday, but there's also a Saturday call. There's a Wednesday night call. All these different time zones to catch people. Like, I used to have a guy in Egypt that loved the Saturday call because it was perfect for him. So use the coupon code COACH when you sign up, and remember, you can join worry-free with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And the show runs on, he said, clicking the pay, there goes, on PodPage. I just talked about it earlier where I'm using it for your podcast website. But if you want to run it yourself, go to trypodpage.com. That's my affiliate link. And if you want to learn PodPage, if you're like, well, I just want to see what it does before I go put my RSS feed in that, even though, again, that's free, you can check that out at learnpodpage.com. And right now, we're using Ecamm, and so far, I haven't messed up yet. Yay! Askthepodcastcoach.com/Ecamm. It's my favorite tool. I was watching a webinar yesterday, and I couldn't remember if they were going to give me recordings or not, and so I just fired up Ecamm and said, record the screen, and it did. And I was like, well, there you go. If you need more Jim Cullison, and hey, who doesn't, doggone it, there he is. Well, then you just want to go over, and that's not the right button. This one is. Nope, this one is. Go over to the, see, there you go. I said I hadn't made a mistake yet. There it is.
You're fine. You're fine.
TheAverageGuy.tv or HomeGadgetGeeks.com. Either one will take you over there. And it's time for the Wheel O' Names. And so will it be Ralph from the Ask Ralph podcast or Felix over the Latin Podcast Awards, our buddy Glenn from Horse Radio Network, you know.
Don't be boring.
Yes, don't be boring. Well, let's click the button and find out. Could it be, hold on, I'm going to click shuffle again just to.
Yeah, I was going to say, you better shuffle.
And we'll hit go.
2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row. Same. And it could be, it's actually going to do it. It is. 3 weeks in a row. Well, doggone it, he should have 1 million downloads by now.
I would hope so.
Radio Free Wrestling. Radio Free Pro Wrestling. Let me clarify on that. So if you like wrestling, check it out. These guys are over there killing it. That's if you're like, oh, people make fun of me because, you know, it's people say it's not real. Well, these are people that are in your camp, and they would love to help you that. And everyone over at Radio Free Pro Wrestling, thanks so much for your awesome support. And if you think this show has saved you time, saved you money, maybe saved you a headache or two, did it keep you educated on what's going on? Or, hey, did we just entertain you? Well, then you might consider being an awesome supporter. And don't forget, you get a big, giant shout-out when you sign up over at askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. So, I do love the Wheel O' Names. I don't know why, but I just do. It's
It's a fun segment. I like it. I like it a lot. It's my favorite part of the show.
Here's a fun one. Because this has come up. Oh, wait, I need to do the fun-filled. I've hit the button. I'm waiting for it. It's thinking about it. And there it is. Wow. That, I don't know why sometimes that comes right back up. The cool thing is in the eCam, it's putting a marker. So I will know that we've changed.
You should just keep talking.
Like, yes.
Push the button, keep talking
and it'll do it. Yeah. So how to remove an episode from Apple Podcast Connect. It's the first time I'm using Apple Podcast Connect, and we added two of the same episodes. One was added by entering the RSS feed, and the other one we uploaded the audio file. Ooh, that's even messier. Now we're trying to remove the one that has the RSS feed and don't see a way to do this. Again, newbie here, so maybe I should just archive the one that was from an upload and have all the subsequent ones in the RSS. Yes, your second answer is the correct one there. So what you want to do is think of, I always use the analogy of radio, and I'm starting to realize that depending on how old the person is, they have no idea what I'm talking about. But a radio station, you have the DJ in the booth that goes out to the tower. The tower blasts a signal at whatever, 100.7, home of the buzzard. And when you tune your radio into that frequency, you know, music and lots of ads come out. Well, if you switch that to podcasting, you're in your spare bedroom. Your tower is now your media host, your Libsyn, your Captivate, your Buzzsprout, and you have a feed. And the feed is now the 100.7. And when instead of radios tuning in, you have apps tuning in. So with that, your feed is the source of truth. Everything is based on your feed. So for instance, we talked about PodPage. What do you put into it? Your feed. Why? Because it has all the information about your show. And so here's the thing is if you want to remove something from Apple, you would remove it from your feed. So in this case, the uploading directly to Apple is if you are selling Apple subscriptions, which you're not in this case. And not my favorite. I love Apple and everything they've done for podcasting, but I don't want to give you 30% and not at least get the name of my customers because they're not my customers. They're Apple's customers. So I don't really recommend them for the subscription thing, but that's why that's what the upload thing is. So use your RSS feed. And then what you want to do is because I just had a company do this. They had a while back decided, yeah, we don't want those episodes out there. And they deleted them. And then about 2 weeks ago, they're like, hey, about a year ago, we deleted those. Can we get those back? And the answer was no, we can't. So the better thing to do is if you want them out of your feed to give you maximum flexibility, mark them as drafts. So a draft is not public. So it's still in your media host, but it's not public. And that way, if later you go, hey, you know what? We have those episodes. Do we want to use those now? Now would be the time to put those out. You go in, you mark them public, and then within 24 hours, that will take care of that. And that'll be back out in the public space. But I saw somebody do that and I was just like, oh yeah, deleting was a little biting your nose off to, you know, I've done that with, I have a couple that are draft where they're really old episodes and everything in them doesn't exist anymore. I could delete them, but I just keep them there just because I always have. If my house catches on fire and every backup I have and Dropbox goes out of business and Backblaze goes out of business, I've got all my files in my media host as a backup. Not the funnest way to get your stuff down because I think every host, you have to go and download the episodes one by one, but that's just
Well, listen, most times with backup the strongest one is the least convenient, but that's okay. You don't do it all the time. You're doing it just in an emergency situation, right? Your more convenient forms of getting it back are going to be the easier ones. But you know, locally, right? I mean, you should have a working copy. You should have at a minimum a local copy that's different, right? And then in your case, I mean, you back it up to Backblaze and your media host is a backup. So you've got there a minimum of four copies of it in some place. And yeah, your media host, probably not the easiest to get it from, but it's probably your media host could be in some cases your true disaster recovery.
Yeah.
Right. When you're thinking about like, if everything goes wrong, yeah, my media host's got a copy of it and I could grab it from there if I needed to. I also see the media host as a good, that's not where I'm going to grab it from when I need it. I've got it other places that I keep it, but it's a good, we haven't talked about backup in a while, but that's a good reminder of like, you know, it might be a good time to do an audit and just say, can I get to those files? That's one of those things. Like, can I, how would I, if I was going to use my media host and I needed to grab it from there, do I know how to do that? Like, have I logged in? Can I see it? Is it, do I have all the right, it is, and can I go back 3 or 4 or 5 years? Is it actually still there? You know, and because sometimes we set limiters on things like, oh, only keep 50 of these. And I'm not talking about that WordPress limit. I'm just saying sometimes for costs, we set limits on things. So
I started deleting once the file is done and I've listened to it, there's no mistakes in it, and I've published it, I will go and delete the files I used. I will keep the finished file, but the actual episode file, I used to keep those because, you know, storage is cheap until you do it for 19 years. And especially now that we're doing video, video files are ginormous. And I was like, yeah, I don't really, you know, I don't know that they're building the Dave Jackson Library anytime soon. So I don't really need these. So I started deleting those. But yeah, the again, I'm in this course about for authors. And authors often will, you know, forget to back up their stuff. Authors, it turns out, in some cases, gonna paint with a slightly wider brush, not the most technical people on the planet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and so Thomas Umstadt Jr., who's the guy that's running this course, explained that you need 3 copies. You need the one on your hard drive, the one on a backup hard drive, and then one offsite, minimum. And so he uses Time Bandit, Time something on a Mac, backup.
Time Machine,
that's it. He was explaining that, but he also uses Dropbox. And he said, look, I'll be honest, Dropbox is expensive. There are cheap, he goes, you can use Backblaze. He goes, but for the thing he loves, he goes, it's really different that you kind of don't get with Backblaze. I'd have to double check this. But the fact you can work on something in this folder and then it updates on your laptop and on, it's more of a syncing tool than backup.
Time Machine is a good versioning tool. Yeah, and you have to be careful of that too, right?
Yeah.
The copy that you want for disaster purposes, you don't want that to be always syncing with the most current version of it, right? And so you got to be careful there, because if you make a mistake or you blow it away and then it goes out to that copy and blows it away. So versioning and backup are two different concepts.
And that's why he loves Time Machine. He goes, I can go back. Great. He goes, you make a twist in your plot and then you decide later, yeah, we're not going to do that. He goes, I can go back a couple versions. And he said, I guess Dropbox does that kind of.
They do. They have a version.
Yeah, but it's just not as good. So,
well, understand if you got versioning turned on, Microsoft's OneDrive does this as Google, Google Drive does this as well. If you have versioning turned on, make sure you understand what they're versioning.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We have another question here. This was in, I believe this one was in the podcast movement Facebook group. And she's asking, in this case, it's Desiree. And she says, just interviewed a guest. We're talking about bad audio here. Just interviewed a guest, and unfortunately, it was probably the most boring interview I've done so far. She kept giving me one-word answers, and then the constant uhs and ums just made it even worse. So for the first time ever, I actually cut the interview short because it was so bad. Now my problem is whether or not to even post it. What do you guys do when a guest interview isn't that great? And here's, I know the answer. The problem is, would anybody do this? Because if somebody, because I was in a similar situation. What you need to do, and I thought about, how do you word this? Because you can't go, what are you doing? You're stinking up the place. That's not going to work. So what you want to do is go, and I go, so Jim, like, I heard you had a standing ovation at your last presentation. Like, what did that feel like? And Jim goes, it was good. You know, I might go, you know, Jim, thanks so much for that answer. I'm going to make this an edit point. Are you okay? Because you just don't seem like, you know, I've heard you on other shows and you just seem kind of, you know, you're kind of giving me one word answers. And I just know you're kind of better than this. Is there something going on? I mean, I don't want to pry, but like, are you okay? And that way it's not, hey, you're ruining my show. It's, I'm worried about you. And I think it's a more polite way to say you're stinking up the joint. And then, you know, do we need to reschedule or something? And they're like, I don't know. The question is, would anybody actually do that? Because that takes some courage.
Yeah. Well, and I know you meant this, but I would also say don't allow that one word answer to sit. So have,
yeah.
I mean, so like, so I heard you got this standing ovation. Tell me a little bit about it, and what, or how did it make you feel? Great. So tell me a little bit about what was going on, and like, as it was happening, tell me a little bit more about how the, what were you thinking? What, sometimes you just need to feed the guest some things to get, and then you could cut you out of that if you wanted to and add their answers in as you give them more. But as an interviewer, I mean, I get it. If you get to the point in you're pulling teeth and every single question is you dragging things out of them. But your skill as an interviewer is going to be tested, and you got to be ready. I think sometimes we think it's just about asking the questions, and yeah, you have to have great questions, but you also have to be able to get out of situations like this, where maybe that question wasn't great. Maybe your question wasn't great, and you've got to rephrase it in a way that helps give them some clues of what you're looking for. I know I've done that, Dave. I've asked some questions and the guest goes, I don't know what you mean. And you're like, okay, let me rephrase that. So as an interviewer, you got to be ready for that and make sure you're figuring out how to get the best out of your guest.
If you want to watch a really uncomfortable interview, just go to YouTube and type in David Letterman, Madonna F word. And in a couple segments, she dropped 14 F bombs on TV. And what's fun is watching Letterman, like after the second one, he's like, okay, this is being broadcast. And she's giving him one word answers. And you can kind of see him because he's kind of looking, you know, to the right at Madonna. But you can often see him glancing to the left, like at his producer, like, what do I do with this? What do you want me to do? And then the other fun thing is she wouldn't leave. Like he wraps up like, okay, thanks so much for stopping by. And I guess the idea was that he had often picked on her because at that time she was dating everybody. And so he's kind of politely calling her a slut. And so the idea was she was supposed to be mad, and they were supposed to play a couple clips of him making fun of her. But later I researched this. I'm like, was this planned? What this, like, I want to hear what Letterman said later, and I can't find out. But Madonna has said she got some really good weed and was higher than a kite during most of that interview. So I was like, oh, well, that's
there you go.
But it's fun because I'm like, man, what would I do in this case? We have a couple comments here. Randy says, it's your podcast. If you don't want to share it, then don't. Yeah. And Randy says in his release agreement, I've used, says, I have full decision-making power on whether or not the interview or the discussion gets released. If somebody's like, hey, can I come on your show? If I don't know them, I go, you can, but I just want to let you know that if I feel you don't deliver value to my audience, like it's not going out. And I've had one person that's like, well, then screw you. And I'm like, okay. Like if you're not that confident in your content, then, you know, Coach Dave says, I've re-recorded an entire episode with a similar guest. We took a 24-hour break and then came back the next day. So I reached out to one guy that I was in that situation, and that's when I found out why he really wanted to come on my show, because he pitched me so hard about using his services to, and I was like, okay, you didn't really want to be interviewed. You just wanted that time to pitch. Ray says, Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Ray from Around the Layout podcast, I recommended a pre-show chat. Yep, that can eliminate a lot of things. It also can relax them with some casual conversation beforehand. So it's you get all that chit-chat out of the way and get them, you know, because especially in Ray's case, he's interviewing guys that are model train, you know, people. So again, may not be the most, they don't have a, you know, SM7B laying around. And then Coach Dave, again, I've spent hours and hours editing out bad pauses and filler words, published an acceptable episode that the guests thought went really, really well. Yeah, so that's the thing I've learned, that if I have somebody with a plosive problem, I don't care how many times I have to ask them, nope, move it again, nope, move it again. Because I had one person I asked three times and she had a headset on. And eventually I was like, you know what, I'll just edit these out later. It took 3 hours to go into every p and b and all the other ones and highlight it, take all the bass and take it out. It was like, oh, it's crazy. So yeah, those are no fun. And I'm with Ray. I think I'm always happy to do a pre-interview. If somebody goes, would you mind doing a pre-interview? And then it's funny because if the camera's on and they're like, okay, we didn't need to do this. Like, well, you know, But we did, I wanted to get Lane in here. He'd thrown in some things. He says, following on Katie Brinkley was on the School of Podcasting. She's a social media person. And he says, what do you think of this? To reach your current audience, be consistent. To reach a new audience, be inconsistent. He says, being inconsistent would mean that you catch people you don't regularly catch with your social media. I've done this a couple times with my newsletter, where my newsletter will be done at literally, in some cases, like 1:30 in the morning. And I'm like, oh, I should probably schedule this and have it come out at 8 in the morning. And I'm like, or I can publish now and get an audience that, you know, somewhere overseas or something like that. So depending on the mood I'm in, I have published my newsletter at 1:30 in the morning, and other times, like the one that just went out Friday, was scheduled at 8 in the morning. But man, one of the first things we talked about today, and I can't remember what it was, but there's a thing, if you constantly do the same thing, I call it AC/DC syndrome. If AC/DC came out with a new album tomorrow, I could grab it, grab my guitar, and play it. Like, it's AC/DC, I often think, which is funny because they don't actually have a song where the chords are AC/DC. They should. It sounds just like an AC/DC song. And so now the good news is there are some people that will love AC/DC because they always sound just like AC/DC. And then there are people like me that maybe because I'm older and I'm just not so much in the sex, drugs, and rock and roll that I used to be, I kind of go, yeah, I've heard this, you know? And so if you are consistent, the people that love that you do exactly what you do, the way you do it, are going to be happy. And the people that are like, yeah, this kind of sounds like the last episode, they kind of want to change it up. So I don't on purpose, like it's not on the schedule, but every now and then I try to change things up. I might do an interview. I have one right now with Albin Brook from Buzzsprout. And I was like, I haven't done an NPR style interview in a while. I might break that one up and do it more narrative. Just because I haven't done that in a while, just to throw same content, just a little bit of a different format change. So, you know,
this, the one thing I would warn against throwing in left field content.
Oh yeah.
Like, right. Is you get that one person who likes it. And you, if you just did it one time to capture somebody, they're going to come back to you and say, you know, it's like churches that try to attract people with their Easter Sunday service.
Oh yeah.
And they pull out all the stops. They hire musicians, they, you know, put up screens.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to Disneyland for church, right? And then the next week they come back and like, hey, wait a minute, where's the singers? Where's the dancers? Yeah. Where's the big screens? Oh no, that was just Easter Sunday. We just wanted you to, you know. So I would be really, really cautious of,
yeah.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't try things, but just know if you do it and you attract some people who like it and then you don't do it, they're going to ask for it back. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's like, oh, maybe we'll make it a segment this week. I tried listener feedback right out of the shoot to see if we could, we'll give that a try. If it catches on, we'll do more of it. If it doesn't, we'll stop. So you just got to be careful what you wish for on that one. You may be stuck to it closer than you think.
It's funny you say that because that's exactly what we did at my church. We like brought out all these decorations and stuff, and then yeah, people are like, oh, this is a cool church. And then you come back and you're like, hey, where's the
donuts? You had donuts last week. Where's the donuts?
The important part. Yeah. Our chat room says, talking about bad interviews, it was hard for me to learn that it's important to stand up for your podcast. But once you realize the value of your product, you'll start to protect it. Yeah, when that one person emailed me and said, Dave, that episode sounded like crap. I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to blame me for that. Not so much the guest. The John Jamango says, the worst interview to edit is when the guest speaks like Porky Pig. It actually makes the host imitate the guest. I'm thinking implementing a Porky Pig upcharge. I like that. Just put that on your website. Everybody knows who Porky Pig is. Assuming it isn't live, says the Liberty Dude, one can ask the same questions in different manner over the interview and then edit it down to be more comprehensive. Yep, I am the king when I'm talking to Albin. In fact, I did this, I think, in Katie's episode. I a lot of times will give background information. And I'd be like, Jim, I know you have 4 kids and you're in the Army. And so you're used to working with a lot of people and you know, you've got the, blah, 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 and I give him all this background. And then I ask the question, and the question is like, what's your favorite part of working with teams? Okay, we don't really need all the background information for that. I'm giving that to Jim so he knows where I'm coming from. And I am, when I listen back to my interviews, I'm like, okay, yeah, that was that minute, that question took 60 seconds for me. Like, and cause you do, and do, more background. Here's the question. I'm like, yeah, they don't, the audience doesn't need to hear me. Like that was for the guest purpose to understand where I'm coming from so they can give me a better answer. But the actual question wasn't like, so what's your favorite color? You know, they don't need the backstory, like whatever it's going on. So that's usually most of my interviews. If I'm editing out stuff, it's me because, or I'll do, and I almost hate to say the phrase me too, cause that has a total different meaning. But if somebody says, oh, my favorite pizza is pepperoni. And I'm like, oh man, I love pepperoni pizza. If you ever come to Akron, I'm buying you Luigi's. Well, okay. That's not really adding anything to the interview. And that's out of there too. So I'm, and then the other thing I do that's just weird is I always look at, okay, great. I've got a 34-minute interview. I've edited out all the boring stuff. What's left now is could go to the public, but what's the weakest link? What's the weakest question? What's the weakest answer? And I will pull just one more just to, kind of, that's a weird Dave thing. I'm like, okay, that's just, I guess if it was a cut of meat, right? I'm going to get just a little closer to the bone, maybe cut out some of the fat, things like that. Do you have any tips, Jim? I mean, you've done a lot of interviews. When you come into an interview, what's your, and wow, we are over. But anyway.
Yeah, we are. We're going to wrap this here, up. I'll say it. This. I'll say it, then we'll wrap it with this. We start 30 minutes ahead of time for everything.
Hmm.
I don't care how pro they are, how good they are, how much time. I tell them, we're going to sit there and stare at each other. Because I know if I start 15 minutes ahead of the live show, I have 25 minutes worth of problems. So, but it's weird when I start 30 minutes ahead of time, I have 0 minutes worth of problems. And gives me a great opportunity to get to know them a little bit more. And so I'll go over the format a couple times, you know, we just go through. And that works for me. We wind them up. But if I was just going to do a recording, I may start with a couple easy questions just to get them talking. And then jump into the serious questions. You could do it that way as well.
Yeah.
So anyways, we are over.
But yeah, I just looked up and so I was like, wow, it's fine.
Bonus. Yeah. Bonus. This is the after show. Show after the show.
Well, what's coming up on Home Gadget Geeks?
Yeah, Jay Franzi from jfranzi.com, a regular guest joins me, and we spent some time. We did a new segment where we took some listener feedback early on, and then talked about the Zoom H6 and the Rode Wireless Pro that he has purchased both of those for some things. And so we got a little nerdy on the mic stuff, which was kind of fun. And then it was just a fun show. Anyways, you can check it out. It's available right now, homegadgetgeeks.com.
And you can thank me for the Wireless Pro because I bought the Wireless Go like 2 weeks before they came out with that. And I was like, oh, great, 32-bit float.
Of course you did. Right? Yeah.
That's always fun. Yeah. On the School of Podcast.
They're sweet.
Yeah. And if it's like the Wireless Go, which I had to assume, they tie into the Rodecaster really nice. So as soon as it came out, I was like, yeah. So on the School of Podcasting, you will either... Jim did thumbs up and was washed in fireworks. It's great fun. On the School of Podcasting, you'll either hear my conversation with Alban Brooke from Buzzsprout, or I might do an episode on, although I just did an interview on this, a report came out saying that it used to be most podcasters quit at episode 7. And based on information from podcastindex.org, that's now down to 5. And I might do an episode on why people quit. But I just did an interview on that with the in and around podcasting people. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do that because it sounds like I'm stealing their topic. But I was going to talk about it. But so tune in to find out. schoolofpodcasting.com/follow. Thanks to Mark and Dan. And we'll see you next week.
Used an actual battery, a lead acid battery starter. And those, they were fine, not great. And I had to replace it a couple times and it wasn't great. And then I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to do electric again. I like gas.
Yeah.
It's just got more got more torque. You can do more with it.
Yeah. But my front yard is this, and then it goes, and the fact that I was, there are times I'm like pushing this mower over the top of the hill, and then I'd go down and push it up the, like, yeah. I had to kind of go both ways. And now there were times when I was like, I kind of go, oh, wait, I have my old shoes on. I need something with some tread so this mower doesn't pull me down the hill. And I don't,
you need a robot lawnmower with treads.
That's it, man.
Go down, just turn around, come back up.
So I'm excited. I might actually go mow the lawn because it has rained forever. And yeah, it looks like it's sunny out. I'm like, oh, yeah, I get to use the new toy. So, yeah, and it used a quarter of the battery. So I'm like, I can mow the lawn for four times before I have to recharge this thing. So,
yeah, nice.
That'll be fun.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I gotta, I'm going to get lunch and then get after it.
Yeah.
Chop some wood.
Oh, there you
feel
go.
Like a man.
Manly.
manly. So, all right. Have a good week. All right, cool. See you next week.
We'll see
you. All right. Take care.
Bye.